Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, the Warriors, they were rewarded with a big, and I mean big, win last night, rallying from a 20-point deficit. Golden State, currently the sixth seed in the West, while over in Phoenix, KD is finally expected to make his long-awaited home debut for the Suns. Suns, currently the fourth seed. Now, there has been this narrative that I want to debunk. And the narrative is this, that the Western Conference is wide open. That's what people tell me. Brilliant minds alike. Slick, you've told it to me. I've seen different people tell me the West is wide open. The West isn't wide open.
It's not?
Because the teams that are supposed to be great in the West, are they actually the Nuggets? We really think the Nuggets are going to win 3-7-game series just to win the West. We think the Kings are really about to run through the West. The Grizzlies. Grizzlies can't even keep their guys on the court for health reasons and extracurricular reasons. The Suns. You could convince me of the Suns. But Kevin Durant, I got to see him stay healthy and do it. I ain't seen him do it since he got hurt, Slick. So really, who owns the West? It's the Warriors. And they showed it to us again last night. Why? Steph Curry, 38, rallying from down 20. Yeah. In the second half, the Warriors showed you exactly why they still own the West. And keep in mind, they are doing this without Andrew Wiggins, who was probably their second best player in the entirety of their championship playoff run just last year. Well, so the West being wide open, it is just optimistic speaking. You know, we want to hear that everybody has a chance in life. Everybody gets a ribbon. Maybe the Kings can do it. I'll be honest. The Kings couldn't do it with Christie and Bibby and Jason Williams and Vlade and Page
Stojakovic
and
Chris
Webber and Mike. If they couldn't do it then, with all the respect, they ain't doing it now. So, Slick, I don't think the West is wide open. I think the West is the Warriors to lose. And if they lose it, they will lose it to the Suns.
Wow.
But what in the world do you think?
I'm saying that it's wide open, as I've told you before. And I'm not changing that because, yeah, you can point to the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, and the Kings, the top three teams record-wise in the conference, and say, well, what kind of playoff experience do they have?
Bingo.
But then you can look at the Warriors and the Suns, and I'll throw the Clippers in there, who have all that playoff experience. And you ask yourself, well, why are they struggling just to stay out of the play-in tournament? Are those teams that we've always looked at as dominant? Are they really that dominant? Do you know that Andrew Wiggins is going to be back in time for the playoffs? And are they a different team without Andrew Wiggins, in spite of what they did last night? Are the Clippers, can Paul George and Kawhi Leonard stay healthy? Can KD and Chris Paul, you've mentioned many times about Chris Paul's injury history and his ability to sustain his ability. So I believe that it is wide open because I can look at every single team in contention in the Western Conference and give you a reason why they're not going to fulfill their potential.
To say something is wide open, though, because let's be real, we say it's wide open, but to say it's wide open means this, Joy, because I saw you were vigorously nodding your head in agreement, which I did not like. To say something is wide open is to assume everybody realistically has a shot. But I don't think the Grizzlies, not even the Grizzlies, let's go with the Nuggets, and they're the one seed. I don't think the Nuggets are actually about to win an NBA championship. I don't think they're going to win the West. Like, I don't think the Clippers, with all due respect, if the Clippers haven't done it the last 3 years, I don't think the Clippers are realistically going to win it. The Mavericks, they've been the 6th seed, they've been the 10th seed, they've been the 11th seed. Yeah. The Pelicans, the Lakers, I love me some Lakers. I don't think these teams are realistically going to win. That's why it's not wide open. It sounds good any given Sunday, any given Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Like, it sounds good, but Joy, I'm not buying that all these teams can realistically win.
Well, we're just talking about winning the West. We're not talking about winning a championship.
True.
Because I think whoever wins the championship is coming out of the East. Which we don't talk about the East a lot. All the attention's been on the West this season.
All the drama's been in the West,
I should say that, yes. I'm with Rick. You can poke a hole in anybody's case. The Dubs have had a real hard time winning on the road.
Tremendously hard time.
Yeah. You got to do that to win playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
Every team has something to poke holes in. Kevin Durant, he's got to get out there and get healthy. We got to see how this is going to go. I agree that I really, if I've got to put my money somewhere, I'm going to go with the Suns or the Warriors, and I would lean towards the Suns. But yes, any of these teams, okay, not any of them. I could make a case for them winning, and I could make a case for them losing. And to me, that is reflective of it being wide open.
But just because you can make a case 2-5, to me, don't mean something is legitimized. Because you can make, I'm with Joy, yes, cases can be made. Like, cases can be made. But what did Draymond Green say 2 weeks ago on the podcast? He said, I don't care about who wins games in March. He said that in response to losing to the Grizzlies. And he's right. Why? Because the Warriors are 18-0 in the Western Conference side of the playoffs.
Yes, they are.
18-0. I'm not talking about 18 wins, no losses. I'm talking about series wins. 18 of them. If they go to the playoffs on the Western side, they get it done. So I don't think it's wide open, 2-5. You got to convince me.
Yeah, I don't think it's wide open either. I think it's out of two teams, right? I want to say the Suns, if Kevin Durant plays, if the gods out there playing, they're my favorites. And then I go with the Warriors. That's what I know best. That's what I know. I mean, it's what I've seen. They prove each year. Like, last year, they proved it. Without KD, with KD, whoever it is, we going to win. And they did that. Where everybody had Boston winning that the championship, the Warriors came, and they showed their true champion pedigree. Then I look at maybe the if I had to pick one other team, maybe the Grizzlies, right? I think Ja's a difference maker. I think that team is really, really good without him. Yeah. Then you add him, he's phenomenal. He's lights out. So I think it's them three teams.
The idea that the Warriors are it's theirs to lose is a little strong for me. But there is an element about the Warriors that if I was forced to choose a team, I would say the Warriors would be my pick. And it's an intangible thing, and it comes with being a champion. And there was a moment in the game against the Pelicans last night that brought it home for me. And it's what Steph Curry means to this team. Let's watch this. This is Jordan Poole hitting a three that basically takes this game out. That right there, that's the way we get this done. Steph Curry and that intuitive, that institutional knowledge of this is how we have to play and this is what we have to do to win games, the Warriors understand that better than anybody. There's no other team other in the Western Conference that can say, we've won a championship, we know what it takes to win a championship, and I, Steph Curry, as the leader of this team, know how to convey what we need to do to everybody else. And they're going to follow along. We know about all the problems that the Warriors have had this year. And yet, where are they at this point? What I saw last night, whether it was Jordan Poole driving and dishing to Draymond Green coming down the middle of the lane, there's no hesitation within them in terms of what they have to do to win. And that is such a powerful thing. That's why I don't think they're as talented as last year's team. I think there are more talented teams in the Western Conference, which is why they have the record that they have. But when it comes to what do we collectively need to do to win this game, there is no team that understands that. There's no player that understands that better than Steph Curry, and there's no team that understands that better than the Warriors.
And I just want to get this straight real quick. So you rocking with the Warriors, sounds like. You rocking with the Warriors, sounds like. Okay, cool. All right. Because before we talked about this, it was the punch in the face. I can't see this team. But now y'all rocking with my Warriors. Okay, cool.
Oh, you're Warriors. I'm
a Sixers fan, and I love the Warriors. Y'all know that. So I'm cool. We all hug each other. Now, y'all, I like that. Okay.
I rock with Steph Curry. Where Steph Curry goes, you know I go. I rock with Steph Curry heavy. I think it was moment that Slick pointed out. But remember when Draymond was on the verge after he kicked the dude in the face intentionally, incidentally, whatever the case happened.
Right. And
I knew he was going to bring that up.
And then Draymond was chopping. This was the moment that I realized, okay, I love the Warriors. Because Steve Kerr pulls him out, but it's what he does. He puts his hand around him, and then he's just laughing.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr's just laughing. I was like, I do not think that Jason Kidd would have done that same thing with Luka.
You see, Draymond.
I do not know of a coach who knows his team on the Western side as well as Steve Kerr knows his team. The Grizzlies are talented, but they've been talented. Mm-hmm. Let's not act like they weren't talented last year when the Warriors. So I can't buy the hype of the Grizzlies, Joy. I can't buy the hype of the Kings. I won't buy the hype of the Nuggets. Jokic has been an MVP the last 2 years. So show me something. Show me something, please.
Well, I think that's what it is all these other teams are in a show me space. Like, we've seen Phoenix go all the way recently. We know what the Warriors can do. Everyone else, it's kind of, other than the Lakers, it's kind of like, where is the championship DNA? Yeah. And I know it's a very cliche thing to say, but the postseason is a different season.
Yeah.
The games matter differently. You prepare differently. Mm. Your rotations change.
Correct.
So everything is different in the postseason than it is in the regular season in this very, very long regular season.
Yep. And,
so to me, it's everyone else has to show me, whereas the Suns and the Warriors have been there before. That said, I think there are enough talented teams, and this particular postseason may very much come down to who is available.
Right. Well, and once upon a time, the Warriors were the Grizzlies. Yeah, the Warriors were the Denver Nuggets.
Long time ago.
Okay, 2014.
Something is until it isn't.
But they went up against the San Antonio Spurs, and they had to demonstrate we can overcome the champions. And they eventually did. So at some point, that's going to happen. The only question is
are we at that point?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now look, everyone expects Justin Herbert to get a huge payday with the long-term extension looming. But as head coach Brandon Staley said, quote, talks are ongoing. We're at the beginning of all that. Remember, y'all, there's another quarterback in Lamar Jackson we just finished arguing about who's also waiting for a big extension. My thought process, Joy, is this. Justin Herbert doesn't actually need to wait on anybody else to get paid because he's not comparable to anybody else. Joe Burrow is up right now. Jalen Hurts is up right now. They're the same draft class as Justin Herbert. But Burrow's been to a Super Bowl. Hurts has been to a Super Bowl. So your money don't need to talk about my money nor talk to my money. Mm. Lamar Jackson's a unanimous MVP. Justin Herbert was an Offensive Rookie of the Year, but I do think there's a small gap between Offensive Rookie of the Year and unanimous MVP. So Herbert's money, in my mind, is going to be in a box. It should stay in a box. Herbert is who he is, and he is who he is to the Chargers, more importantly. But what Herbert gets paid should not have anything to do with Burrow, Hurts, or Lamar. So should Herbert be waiting for Lamar to get paid, thinking maybe if Lamar gets a fully guaranteed deal, I can jump him? Because I've been better as of late, many would argue. Or should Herbert just go ahead and sign it?
I actually agree with you. I don't think his money is reflective of the other guys who are up right now. Now, to the Chargers, that might not make a difference because he is clearly the quarterback of their future. Mm. He is Offensive Rookie of the Year. He puts up unbelievable numbers, and he has a long future in this league. My side of it is more that he doesn't need to rush to get this done, but I would not play this year without a deal done if I'm Justin Herbert. Don't risk it. Don't put yourself in a situation where you have some catastrophic injury and we start talking about if you're injury prone or now you haven't won a playoff game and all the other things that people start to use to negotiate you against you start piling up, because right now those things don't exist. Right now, we can still blame the Chargers. Right now, you got to the playoffs, right? Like, so you have everything in your favor at this moment, and we can see how talented you are. The numbers that you put up are obscene. So I don't think he needs to rush to get it done. I don't think he needs to worry about what anyone else is getting paid. The market is the market right now. We know that the owners are not interested in giving out another fully guaranteed deal. Now, if the Chargers owners go off the track and give him a fully guaranteed deal, now Lamar is going to demand a fully guaranteed deal, and Burrow is going to demand a fully guaranteed deal, and they're going to get it because that is now the standard. Right now, the Watson deal is an outlier. Lamar hasn't signed yet, so it does still remain an outlier. I think Justin Herbert should get a deal done, but he doesn't need to rush.
Get it done. And I would say not rush, don't shortcut yourself, but get it done sooner rather than later, because it's going to give – we're talking about such big numbers for quarterbacks now that getting that done and out of the way, not just for the next year but the next couple of years, allows a team to game plan for how they're going to structure the team around that quarterback. And quite clearly, they are committed to him and he is committed to them. Mm-hmm. And to your point, like I feel as if quarterbacks now are judged in a different way. It's not a matter of who's getting paid. Do we really care that Patrick Mahomes is or isn't getting paid the most money? Or do we consider him the best quarterback in the league because of what he's accomplished?
Yeah.
And how has he accomplished that? Because it's a 10-year, $450 million, a team-friendly deal, but he gave the team the ability to build around him and get pieces, to go get Tyreek Hill when that opportunity, get the other pieces when it was necessary to keep that ball rolling. So that's where I see if you're in a good spot with your team and they've demonstrated that they're willing to build around you, give them the opportunity to do that, because the way we're talking about Justin Herbert right now, what he has to accomplish next is not how much money he's going to make. It's what he's able to do on the field, and he needs the team to be able to help him do that.
And I think that's great, right? That's cool. But that's not reality. And something you said before I give you my take, you said that he shouldn't be in the box, and he shouldn't get more than Burrow or get more than Jalen Hurts. And what's the reason for that again?
He's not as good.
He hasn't done as much. That don't matter when it comes to getting paid at the market. So if he's smart, he would go last. Let them guys get their money, and he's going to try to overjump them. It happens all the time. If I told you that Kyler Murray has more guaranteed money than Josh Allen, would you believe that?
Yeah.
Is he better than him?
No.
Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers. I could keep going. Russell Wilson got more guaranteed than all them dudes. It's all about timing. So his agent is probably like at home, like, oh, let's let Jalen Hurts, yeah, give him his money. Oh, wow. Burrow, yeah, he wants a Super Bowl. Yeah, he's really, really good. He's the next. Let him go because he knows that he's going to overjump him. That's how it works. It don't matter who's better. It's the timing and then whoever's up. That's the market.
I don't know if Justin Herbert cares about what I got to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I ain't signing no 10-year deal with the Chargers. I signed a 10-year deal with Andy Reid and the Chiefs. I ain't signing no 10-year deal with the Chargers. No disrespect. Y'all gonna have to re-up. We're gonna see how we are again in like 3-4 years. You ain't getting a 10-year deal out of me. Do not do that, Justin. I know it might sound good.
Two quarters did that, though.
Yeah. Josh, Brady, Brady taking less money. Okay, we won Super Bowls. It's Belichick. Yeah. I know what's going on here. It's Kraft. We know what this organization is. My wife got, $300 million in the bank, biggest Super Bowl in the world. We good. Don't do that, right? Just get to a nice, normal deal. Get all your money. Get as much guaranteed as you can. There's very few organizations that I would trust to sign a team-friendly deal like Patrick Mahomes did.
I get that. I get that part. And I'm not suggesting it's comparable on that level. But they have made a commitment to him. And I'm just looking at Justin Herbert. While he's demonstrated that he's a talented quarterback, are we ready to put him in that category that he can win the way Patrick Mahomes has? Which is basically, he can give you almost anything, and we figure it out with Reed.
But I think Slick is saying it should matter to Herbert. Because what do we always say? Herbert doesn't have enough help. Mike Williams is never healthy. Keenan Allen always hurt.
Right.
Austin Eckler, Eckler wanted more money right now. Yeah. Austin Eckler, Herbert's running back, is he wants to go elsewhere. So I think it's get your money if you want to, and you should, but at what on-field cost? Well, checking in on our social life, maybe the funniest thing I've seen in a long time on social media. NFL head coaches, they took their annual group photo during the recent owners' meetings. And Jason and Travis Kelce, again, friends of the show, they have some fun trying to name all of the coaches. Y'all got to listen to this.
We show players this picture, and they have to name each coach in this picture. Let's give it a Travis Kelce try right now.
I'm the worst with names, but I can tell you team.
Starting on the left.
Chargers, Giants.
Yep.
San Fran. The f*** is that guy?
No chance you're getting this one. 0% chance.
No clue. Jets. After Jets, nothing. I don't even. I've never seen that man in my life.
So good.
Who was it?
I will fail this test.
All right, how many you got? How many did you get?
Listen, it's bigger issues right now. I don't know.
Yo, that's not dodging.
No. Real quick, before we get funny, we need more black coaches. We need more black coaches. Out of 32 teams, only 4 black coaches. That's crazy,
damn,
man.
It's
terrible.
It is. I'm still trying to figure out who is the coach between Steichen and Sala. This one right here.
That
like Cal from Good Morning Football.
Eberflus.
Oh, Eberflus got great.
Eberflus?
I knew. I ain't seen Eberflus in 10 years, though.
Right. That's due for the
That's a Steichen.
The Bears.
Now, here's the question. I got 29.
That's Steichen. You got 29?
I got 29.
Here's in person, I would know him. I
got 29.
Eberflus.
Now, here's the question. Here's the real question. Because not only did I get 29,
yeah.
The reason I got 29 is good. Two of them aren't up there. Who ain't there?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question.
We're
so
three
how,
on.
How many coaches are pictured?
There are 30 coaches pictured.
Okay, yeah. Sirianni's not pictured.
There's three that aren't there, actually.
Sirianni's not pictured.
We're delving into bad TV right now.
Hold on. No, we're not. Sirianni's not. Give me the team, Joy.
What? That's too easy.
What do you mean? That's the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Titans.
Stop it.
Oh, Frank Wright.
Titans. Titans, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Vrabel.
Vrabel.
Oh, I like Vrabel. But you got 29? That's pretty good.
I got to be honest. Just seeing, like, Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick in like, dress clothes or Mike Montgomery in a jacket is throwing me off. You
one thing about Andy,
face,
though, Andy's going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Coach Reed is going to be comfortable, and he's going to have his shirt. He's going to have his Wine shirt.
Here's what I like, though. I like how Reed and Belichick, like, the two best coaches on there, Shady, I would say.
Right in the middle.
Is it a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl winner,
yep.
Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl attendee, Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl winner are right next to each other? Yeah. Or y'all think it's kind of like a Super Bowl club?
Tomlin got a Super Bowl.
But I think it's OG's up front.
OG's up front?
Yeah, OG's.
But what about Tomlin then? Because Tomlin been coaching about 16 years now.
He got Doug on the other end of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
McCarthy on the other end got a Super Bowl.
But Doug, did Doug coach D'Amico?
Doug? No.
He didn't? You look at these pictures, this stuff is fascinating. Anyway, what's more fascinating, we got to transition to to Aaron Rodgers because that saga is fascinating. I got to go try to see if I can do this later on. All right, we're still waiting to see if Aaron Rodgers will get traded to the Jets. Their owner, Woody Johnson, said they're anxious but added, quote, we're willing to stick with our plan. I don't think anybody here is hyperventilating. Well, I would hope not.
Right.
They say they're not hyperventilating. I want to say why I think the Jets should be nervous. Shady, I was thinking about this. We have all assumed the Jets are going to land Aaron Rodgers, but that assumption is dangerous. Reason being, it was 2015. I'm on the Eagles. We had just traded LeSean McCoy. So now it's 2015. The quarterback that was going to be drafted early, Heisman winner Marcus Mariota. Chip Kelly had coached Marcus Mariota. We, as the Eagles, wanted to trade for Marcus Mariota. So we did what the Jets were doing. We prepared to trade for Marcus Mariota. What are the Jets doing? They acquired Alan Lazard. What are the Jets doing? Maybe coincidence, but Nathaniel Hackett is now in the building. Mm-hmm. What are the Jets doing? Maybe it's coincidence, but they're acquiring players that they know Aaron Rodgers would want to play with. What did we, the Eagles, do? We traded Nick Foles and a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick for Sam Bradford. Why Sam Bradford? Because the Titans needed a quarterback. So we were like, okay, Titans, y'all are drafting number two behind the Bucks. Bucks were going to take Jameis Winston. But what were the Titans going to do? Are they going to take Mariota? You don't need to take Mariota. Chip said to himself, if we can get Bradford, we will trade Bradford for Marcus Mariota. Well, what happened on draft day? Titans didn't make the trade. The Eagles tried to trade Sam Bradford, Michael Kendricks, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Boykin, and like a first-round pick, all for Marcus Mariota, and they said no.
Hmm.
Next thing you know, Chip gets fired because Sam Bradford was not who was supposed to lead that offense. The reason I tell you all this story, Jets fans, it's not done until it's done. So you can think you're acquiring all you want. You traded Elijah Moore for a second-round pick. Congratulations. But until Aaron Rodgers is in that building, it is not done. And I have just sat in the seats where I'm like, oh, surely Mariota will be here. Surely Aaron Rodgers is going to be here. But, Joy, I don't think it's done until it's done. That's why the Jets should be worried, just based on my experience. But what say you?
Well, I mean, you have the Green Bay side of this as well. Like, Green Bay's done a lot. A lot has happened. Aaron said a lot. The Jets have said a lot. Meetings have happened. We're talking about moving forward with Jordan Love. Too much has happened, right? Too many words have been said that can't be taken back in this situation for him to not end up leaving Green Bay. And he's saying he wants to go to the Jets. So I think this is going to get done. That's why they're saying they're not hyperventilating, but that's a big word to even be throwing out mm-hmm. there. So what I think they're nervous about or should be nervous about is giving up more than they wanted to give up to give Aaron Rodgers, because I believe that's what the holdup is. The Packers don't want to give Aaron away for nothing. As they shouldn't, because they get pushed around all the time.
Yes.
So if they're going to stand up to anybody, it might as well be another team that's taking away their future Hall of Fame quarterback. and forcing them essentially into transitioning into Jordan Love. Whether they want to do it or not, who knows? We'll find out in a book series or, you know, a streaming service series later on in life. That's how we'll find out. But that's what I think is happening here, and that's what the holdup is. That said, also, little note, give the Packers what they want. You're already going to be in a short-term situation with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is not a long-term solution. What are you holding on to draft picks for? You're going all in if you're bringing in Aaron Rodgers in anyway. So the game that these teams try to play, we're like, we're going to bring in this guy who's got like 2-3 years left, maybe 3 years on the long ends, but we're going to hold on to the future. Like, pick a hustle, because you're trying to play this game and you could end up with nothing.
With nothing. Would you be surprised if another team ended up with Aaron Rodgers? Meaning, I think the Colts draft after the Texans, and clearly they draft after the Panthers. We know C.J. Stroud. We know Bryce Young. So the Colts draft fourth. The top two quarterbacks, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, will likely be gone.
Yeah.
Would you be shocked if somehow the Colts, either on draft day, maybe that Saturday after the first round and the second, third round, would you be shocked if the Colts ended up making a move if they couldn't get the guys they wanted? Like, I don't know that the Jets should feel safe.
I mean, if Aaron has said he's playing for the Jets, then that's, Aaron has a little bit of leverage in this space. Like, he can just retire.
Which would benefit the Packers.
Sure. But if you're, like, he wants to go play for the Jets. So that's where Aaron's going to play. That's the only thing that would give me some comfort if I'm in New York.
That wouldn't make sense for the Colts. They're trying to build their franchise.
Yeah.
Aaron has, what, 2-3 more years left at the most? This is my whole thing with the whole breakdown, right, of Aaron Rodgers trying to go to the Jets and vice versa with the Packers. The Jets will get the most value, or they will give the most for Aaron Rodgers because the deal is already done, right? Like we both want this to work. The Jets, we want Aaron Rodgers. The Packers, you want to give him up. And we kind of worked it out already. So for another team to come in there and offer you so much, it's unlikely, right? Like, it's really, the deal is really done. I think they're trying to figure it out. What exactly does the Jets willing to give, you know? And I think that the Packers, you keep talking about the Jets, but the Packers need to not get too crazy and overboard, right? Try to ask too much because you already got a deal in place. They don't want to lose that.
What would be the Jets' motivation to increase their price at this point in time? And what would be the Packers' motivation to decrease their asking prices? Nothing has changed. Nothing roster-wise will change until, I believe, April 27th is the first round of the draft. So ain't nothing going to change for another.
Rush. Yeah, so it's no rush. But this is my thing. Like, the deal is already done, right? So I feel like when a team is waiting to get a player that they know they pretty much got, and the team that's giving him up, they pretty much know they're going to give Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. Why would you mess that up trying to get more out of a team that's already a done deal? Where if another team come in, it's now you got to do the whole thing all over again. What do you want for him, et cetera, et cetera. So the deal's already done, right? I think the Packers have been good with trying to meet all the demands that Aaron Rodgers wants. You know, he's out the door, man. Let's let it move on.
You asked why should the Jets be compelled to do this? Well, the Sacramento Kings just made the playoffs. They are no longer the team with the longest playoff drought in sports, currently in sports. You know who are? That would be your New York Jets. So if they believe, as Shady believes, that Aaron Rodgers is the Pied Piper that is going to lead them to the promised land in the postseason, they should be more motivated than ever to get this done. The reason they should not be worried is because, to Shady's point, I don't know that the deal is done, but they're so far down the road. There's so much momentum. And the Green Bay Packers have made it clear, if the reports are accurate, what it takes to get the deal done. The Jets know that if they give up a first-round pick, they can get Aaron Rodgers. So there's not the uncertainty of the Mariota situation. It's like, we know what it's going to take. We want to avoid doing that. We want to find if we can massage it in a different direction. But ultimately, they can get
this done.
But Slick,
don't you think the reason I wouldn't want to give up a first for Aaron Rodgers is because if I had that first, I could potentially maneuver that to draft a quarterback who I could keep for cheap for 4 or 5 years, as opposed to a disgruntled quarterback who didn't even make the playoffs last year for $50 million.
Okay, but that's why you met with Aaron Rodgers, and that's why you decided to go in on him. I mean, you don't go halfway with Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you.
You don't get Aaron Rodgers by going halfway. You've got to decide, this is the guy that's going to change our fortunes. We're ready to win now.
Is he worth the first-round pick?
He is to the New York Jets, if that's what it takes.
Well, clearly but he's not because they haven't done it yet.
Not a first-rounder.
They're playing both sides of this. Are you planning for the future, or are you trying to go all in and take advantage of the roster you have now with competent quarterback play? You can't have it both ways. The Packers don't need to give up Aaron Rodgers. They don't. They do not need to give up Aaron Rodgers. So that's why they're waiting. They can sit there and be like, we want a first-round pick. Don't want to give it. Who's playing quarterback for the New York Jets? The Packers have two quarterbacks. Yeah. You have no quarterback. So what leg do you have to stand on if you're the New York Jets to be talking about the future? It doesn't make sense. Go all in. Don't be hoarding draft picks.
Let's say they don't give up the first rounder, right? And then you got Aaron Rodgers comes back where you already kind of basically alluded to Love being the quarterback going forward. So then what happens? You got Aaron Rodgers and you got Love. Then what happens?
Still in a dilemma. Like the Packers are in a dilemma.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. Think about how the team's going to look. It's like, yo, we dysfunctional. You said he was going, now he's not going, and we got two quarterbacks.
But that's still a better situation than the Jets would
exactly.
be in.
Exactly.
I heard it, but it's pressure. I feel like, to me, it's more pressure on the Packers. You're going to have a $50 million quarterback. Think about it. You got a $50 million quarterback that you're paying, right? Not playing. You have Jordan Love playing the quarterback. Like, that's a lot. Who does that? I've never seen that before.
No one does, but that's still a better situation than the Jets with no quarterback.
That's just going. It's just.
It's both dysfunctional. And it's not.
Now one dude plays have a bad game. Yo.
Yeah, but
are y'all gonna put your Aaron in?
If it's not the
you
Jets,
get what I'm saying?
If it's not the Jets, do you? I can find a home for Aaron Rodgers. Are you telling me that if the Jets bailed, that there would be nobody else that would be interested in Aaron
Rodgers? I seriously don't think that no team would go out there and give a first rounder for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, but that's not what I'm saying.
Not because he's not good enough. It's just that, yo, he's older. He always talks about retirement.
It don't make sense.
Soon you talk about retirement as a player.
Okay,
you know how that is.
Right, why are you even talking about Aaron Rodgers then?
Thank you.
Aaron Rodgers is not a long-term solution. Aaron Rodgers is, and I don't think he is this, but this is the mentality. Brady comes in. He's got 2-3 years left. We have a roster that's capable of making it somewhere, but we don't have a quarterback that's capable of getting us there. That's the mentality. Now, I don't think that's it, and I don't think that's how this is going to work, but that's the mentality of a team that's in this situation. Otherwise, why would the Jets have picked up the phone? Ring! I'd like to talk to Aaron, please. Doesn't make sense. Like, you're in the business of right now, not the future.
That is
the
true.
Jets.
And the Jets flew out to come see him. Well, transitioning from that topic to the storyline of the National Basketball Association, LeBron James, he led the Lakers back to a huge, much-needed win yesterday. If you missed it, we will fill you in. Should the Lakers be feared in the West? This has been a great show. Appreciate y'all hanging with us.
I thought that was awesome. Anyway.
Now, look, y'all, the Lakers got a much-needed win over the Bulls last night. LeBron James and Anthony Davis combined for 63 points. L.A., now the 8th seed out West. AD said they can, quote, definitely make a run. Sports Illustrated, they wrote, the Lakers, the Lakers are going to the NBA Finals?
You see that, LeBron? I said it to you.
Kyrie's is more like this.
I mean, you know what? Pick a lane. Pick a lane. One day I hear you talking about my Warriors, and now you're talking about the Lakers.
Listen.
Can you just give me one? Give me one.
Yeah, you do got to pick
I
one.
I respect the king.
Yes, sir.
You love to, you know, I don't want to say it, but you love to hate on the king a little bit. He do what he ain't gonna you do. So all I'm saying is when I seen that, I get a little love. That's all.
Okay.
Okay, so I hate on the king, in your words. I hate on Lamar. I hate on KD. Who else? I hate on – who do I praise, Shady?
Giannis. That's it.
And Steph.
But that's why you good on TV, because you cool with hating. You know what I mean?
Recipe to being good on television. For those of you at home that just want to be on television, it's very simple. Be good at hating.
Right.
Says Sean McCoy.
If I hate, I put my name on it. I said it.
Okay, look, the Lakers, they finally got that much-needed win. AD, LeBron James, 63 points. When you really think about it, the Lakers could be feared in the West because there's not a lot of teams that are big dogs. Yeah. But, Slick, should the Lakers be feared in the West?
No, they should not. I love the fact that they split with the Chicago Bulls, who are, 36-40, and now we're going to have this topic. There's 6-4 6-4 over their last 10 games, but now they're on their way to the NBA Finals. No. Now, the Denver Nuggets in particular should be wary of the Los Angeles Lakers.
I agree.
I say that because
getting no respect.
Because of the until you prove it.
Yeah.
Right? And
I mean, they're the number one seed in the West, and we're not giving them no shot. No,
well, we've seen that before. The Utah Jazz were number one, and they weren't going anywhere, and they finally took it apart and started over. So we've seen it happen before. But I'll go to really logical reasons why they should be. And that's because versus, say, the Kings or the Memphis Grizzlies or any of those other top teams that they could potentially run into. And that's because the Denver Nuggets are best playing slow. And the Lakers are good at playing fast. Mm-hmm. Now, so are the Kings. So are the Grizzlies. So the Lakers are playing to those teams' strength if they play at their strength. They're not going to win that battle. But if they can control the tempo, which they've done, look, they went 2-2 against the Nuggets this year, and that was prior to the trades made at the trade deadline.
But just tell me about the Lakers, Slick, because we're talking about the Nuggets, but there's a chance the Lakers are the 6th seed.
Right.
Chance the Lakers are the 7th seed.
Right.
We don't know what seed the Lakers will be, assuming they make the playoffs. Yeah. So the Lakers themselves, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, a blooming and blossoming Austin Reeves, D'Lo, like, should the Lakers themselves be feared? I think so. Outside of the Warriors and outside of the Suns, nobody in the West has beaten LeBron James. The Warriors have beaten LeBron James back when he was in Cleveland. The Suns have beaten LeBron James when he was with the Lakers first round. You out of there with Book and with Ayton and CP. Mm. So I think everybody should fear the Lakers, because when the Lakers have made the playoffs, they've gone to the championship or the Suns beat them. But remember, that was the Suns team that went all the way to the finals.
Okay,
but so that wasn't a bad Suns team.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I think the Grizzlies should fear him. I think the Nuggets should fear him. I think the Kings should fear him. I think the Clippers, especially without PG, should fear him. If the Mavericks find their way in there, they should fear him. I think the Pelicans, they find their way in there, they should fear him. I think everybody should fear him except those two teams.
Hold on. First of all, we're talking about LeBron James 3 years ago that went to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 3 years later, and we're talking about a completely different team.
1,000%.
And a team that has just been put together in the last month, 6 weeks. So, as I've said before, if we were talking about this from the beginning of the year, and if we weren't talking about a LeBron James who is playing with a torn tendon in his ankle, then I might buy into this conversation that they're dangerous. But as is, when I look at, again, as young as the teams might be, the Memphis Grizzlies might be, or even the Sacramento Kings, those teams have been together far longer. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors and even the LA Clippers all have playoffs experience together. And to me, that's the great divider, is the regular season is not the playoffs.
1,000%.
The playoffs demands, attention to detail and execution.
But LeBron has more playoff experience than the whole roster of the Grizzlies and the Kings and whoever else you want to say combined. That's why I think there is some fear to be had outside of the Warriors and the Suns. What do you say?
I mean, I think they should be aware of the Lakers. And I think that teams that haven't proven anything, if they end up getting that matchup, will take it very seriously. And they should. Because you're right. This team, you know, did just get put together. But LeBron is the king.
You're the king.
And Anthony Davis is healthy. And they have something to play for. Like, this means...
You're looking at me like you want me to argue with you.
No, I don't want you to argue.
I'm not going to argue.
I don't know. Sometimes we just got to make eye contact.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Fear is a bit of... It might be too aggressive of a term. But if you're comfortable with it, then fine. Fear, awareness, whatever your preference is. But what I've been saying about the Lakers all along. If they get into the postseason... Y'all better be ready, because this is LeBron James. This is a healthy Anthony Davis. And this is role players that if they get into the postseason, they will have done that because they figured it out.
Yeah, see, that's my thing, man. It's like, you got LeBron James. I mean, it's LeBron James, right? And then AD, depending on what AD we get, a more consistent, healthy AD, when AD's rolling, he's rolling.
Rolling.
And then I look at how all the role players had to step up their game, had to get more playing time, more minutes, right? Had a bigger role when LeBron was out. So now you gain all that confidence. I remember just playing as a young role player, right? I just didn't want to mess up. And then when Brian Westbrook went down, I was the guy. Like, I had a bigger role. Mm-hmm. And you gain confidence. That's the best thing, I think, for any players to get confidence. So now LeBron comes back. All them role players that needed confidence, they got it. Going forward, listen, I'm not saying they're going to the championship. That's hard to do. They're still in the play-in.
How far do you see them going?
With this team... That's the question mark. I don't know. I could see them winning a series or two. I'm just going to say that. I don't want to get too crazy. And, you know, but They got the potential. They got the potential to do it. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying they have the potential to do it.
To Shady's point, it's matchup dependent. If they don't see the Suns or the Warriors, I think they will go to the Western Conference Finals. But if they got
size, they're athletic, and they play defense. And from time to time, they can shoot the trade ball.
I said the Western Conference is wide open, so I'm not going to disagree that there's not a shot. But at best, I'm going to say they're in the mix. And to your point, like, there's some others that are probably bigger favorites.
No doubt about it. Well, the team that has a long shot is now the Dallas Mavericks. It's really the most epic collapse in all of basketball this season. The Mavs added Kyrie, and they started losing substantially. We got to tell you what in the world is going on with Dallas and who is to blame. It's chaos in Dallas. That's next.
Ichamna.
The Mavericks, they took a L against the Sixers last night and have lost 5 out of their last 6 games. Dallas made a huge trade, I'm sure you were aware, in the middle of the season. Kyrie Irving paired up with Luka Doncic. But currently, they are fighting for their playoff lives, and they're on the outside looking in. Kyrie said that their fighting for a play-in spot was not the expectation anyone had in the locker room. His quotes post-game, they were pretty loud and pretty damning, if you will. I will not say them in large part because I can't on national television.
You can't say that?
Okay. Cluster bleep?
Yep, cluster bleep. Slick, I believe that the Mavericks have a Kyrie problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I believe the Mavs have a Kyrie Irving problem is because it's a problem that needs to find a solution. I go back and I say, okay, is there a solution? Nope, no solution. Problem. Kyrie Irving has to get re-signed at the end of this deal by the Dallas Mavericks. Why? Because they traded pieces for him. More than that, the Dallas Mavericks were the 6th seed when they acquired Kyrie, and now they are the 11th seed. I don't know whether it's Kyrie's fault, but people overestimate his talent. So with that being said, I think the Dallas Mavericks started losing once Kyrie Irving showed up, hence them having a problem. But what in the world do you say?
I say that the Lakota word that I wish that Kyrie had used. Because,
I know her.
Right? No.
I grew up with a girl named Lakota. Lakota.
We're talking about like an entirely different thing. I'm talking about Lakota, the language,
the
Native American language.
What are you talking about?
Growing up in the hood, you know, it's all
something. Woo, this has gone off the rails.
Told you.
Shawanda. Never mind.
Yeah. Okay,
so you're talking about a language.
I'm talking about Ichamna. That's the Lakota word for as close as to cluster bleep.
What in the world is Lakota? Joy, what, you got a doctorate, so don't try to sit this one out.
I would very much like to be left out of this.
What Lakota mean?
Lakota.
Lakota is the language of the Sioux, which is the tribe that Kyrie is from.
Yeah.
She was tall, though.
Was she?
Oh, Kyrie said that. He said that his mom is from. She's from.
Really? I'm speaking another language now. I'm amazed by this.
She's from some tribe in North Dakota. Tell me that.
Wow. Okay.
But the Shakota I know, she's like tall.
You know a Shakota. He's talking about Lakota.
Yeah. But Lakota. Look. See, I messed her name up now. Go ahead. She was tall, though.
And she was from what tribe was she from?
She's from Harrisburg, where I'm from.
You just said she was from the North Dakota tribe.
No, Kyrie's mom.
Oh.
But what's the word you said? What's the name?
Ichamna?
No.
Or Lakota?
Lakota, I know
Lakota.
Her.
You know Lakota. Lakota.
Is she from my city?
She's from Harrisburg.
From Harrisburg.
From PA.
Yeah.
I had no idea. You know what? I'm going to take responsibility for this. It's my fault.
Yeah, it is your fault.
Put it on me. I got big shoulders. They have a problem if they can't re-sign Kyrie Irving. And there's no guarantee. How can I go back?
What's going on? What's the question?
Do the Mavs have a Kyrie Irving?
No, they do not have They have a Kyrie Irving problem if Kyrie Irving is not there. You're suggesting that the reason that they have a problem is because Kyrie Irving is
correct.
There. They need Kyrie Irving to commit so that they're able to build around Kyrie and Luka. If they never get the chance to do that, then they've just given away a multitude of pieces for a guy that they rented for just a couple of months. Now, the belief is that they would not have done that if they didn't know that they were going to have Kyrie, that he's going to re-sign with them.
Let me do this. I truly admire your willingness and ability to get through that question. Shady, what are you making? Okay,
you
fill the cup
something
with water, then you put in half and half. You put in 2 sugar packets.
Creamer.
I'm trying to do a show.
Look at the desk.
Okay, what in the world? You eat like a kid.
He's going to sneeze next.
Okay, you eat like a kid. You're talking about Lakota from Harrisburg, and she's from the North Dakota tribe.
She's tall, too.
What? And she's tall. Yeah. With long hair. What's going on here?
Nah, listen, I'm engaged.
Yeah.
I needed some coffee, though.
What was the question?
Do the math, not both the question. Okay, I'm not worried about the question anymore. I'm trying
to. We got a lot of time left in the segment. We should probably do Kyrie talk.
Clean this up. All right, clean this up, and then we're going to focus on the show over here.
You guys are focused.
Do the Mavs have a Kyrie Irving problem, George
Taylor?
No, Taylor?
They don't. They have a defense problem. They have a role player problem. I'm sorry, my eyes are watering. The construction of this team is what's to blame in Dallas. It can't be Kyrie. Kyrie just got there. Kyrie just got there. I said this when the trade was made. It's very exciting, rightfully so. Kyrie is a top player. But it takes time for these things to get moving. It takes time for this to all click together. This is a they have a defensive issue.
Yes, they do.
They're not going to be able to solve that before the end of the season.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken, they need other things to happen now for them to even get into the postseason. Like, it's not even all up to them.
Yeah.
So they're in a really bad spot here. This can't be placed on Kyrie. There is a number one there. There's a face of the organization, and it's Luka, who, by the way, is also not a massive defender. So it's not like he's playing at a high defensive level and Kyrie comes in and all of a sudden everything crashes down. That's not how this goes.
But, if they have a defense problem and they have a role player problem, but they gave up role players for Kyrie and Kyrie doesn't play defense, could you not go back and say, well, if they have a defensive problem and a role player problem and the Kyrie don't play defense and they gave up role players for the Kyrie, they got a Kyrie problem.
Why does it have to be this year?
Well,
as long as Kyrie comes back, it's all good. And we're not going to know 100% if that's going to happen until the postseason, until after the season's over. So if Kyrie returns, you're fine. The expectations that he was going to come and all of a sudden they're a championship roster is silly. Like, it's just exaggerated. Yeah. None of us thought they were going to be this bad, but you get Kyrie, you have someone alongside Luka, and now you bring in role players that play at a high defensive level and complement these two players. But, by the way, if anyone's going to be responsible for developing their game, shouldn't it be Luka?
Okay.
Kyrie's in year 13. You know what Kyrie is.
Here's the real problem, or the person or thing to blame, or the concern that I would have going forward. And it's really not Kyrie Irving. It's my question as to whether Mark Cuban and Nico Harrison know how to build a championship caliber team around Luka Doncic.
Around Luka, gotcha. I'm like, because Cuban's done it.
Because they've tried multiple pieces. And where this all really began was that they let Jalen Brunson go. That they weren't willing to re-sign Jalen Brunson. That's why Kyrie Irving is here now.
Yeah, right.
Right? And
second score.
I'm looking at a team that, if you can consider it a fluke if you want, they went to the Western Conference Finals.
That's what I'm saying. So how can you then utter that do the Mavs know how to build a championship team around Kyrie? Because you could argue that last year's team was championship caliber. The Warriors have one of the greatest dynasties in the history of basketball. So every team has seen the Warriors and fallen, including LeBron James, maybe the greatest basketball player of all time. Mm-hmm. So losing to the Warriors isn't a great litmus test of are you championship caliber. Haven't the Mavericks already proven that they've been able to put a championship caliber team? Because if you lose to the Warriors, everybody and their mama loses.
You got to beat the Warriors to get to the finals. Yeah, I don't think you can say you're a championship roster if you're not playing in the finals. Yeah.
They need a little bit more.
Well, look, even when Kyrie showed up, they were the 6-seed team. Like, it wasn't they were a juggernaut, right? They were headed someplace. Yeah. I just feel as if the problem is, and I think Joy pointed to it, is the expectations and the timeline that everybody has the Dallas Mavericks on. Just because you went and got Kyrie doesn't mean you're immediately going to be better.
That's my question.
Right?
My question is that. Like, if it's next year, what's wrong with that?
Getting to Kevin Durant. Boy, he had to get some things off of his chest. In a recent interview, he said, quote, "When it comes to me, people are not going to think in a logical way. Or simply look at what I've done and say, that's it. They got to add a narrative to it. They got to push something to discredit me." Kevin Durant essentially saying that he is unfairly criticized. This is going to be maybe my favorite show of the year because this is one of those thinking shows. Mm. This is one of those shows where I really put a lot of effort into it. We really put a lot of effort before the show. During the show, there's always a pre-show meeting, and we really put a lot into this one. My first thought, Kevin Durant's not unfairly criticized. I will try to convince you, the viewer, and the three brilliant minds at this desk that he's not unfairly criticized. Why? Because whenever you are attached to the best, you will receive an excessive amount of criticism, and you may misconstrue that excessive amount of criticism as unfair criticism. Kevin Durant joined the best team in the history of the National Basketball Association by regular season record, the Golden State Warriors that won 73 games. That is why we excessively criticize Kevin Durant. But let's think about it. Tom Brady was coupled with the best coach of all time in Bill Belichick. Until Tom Brady left Belichick and won by himself with Bruce Arians, we questioned how much is Brady, how much is Belichick? What have we done twice this week on this show alone? Questioned how great is Belichick because he was coupled with the best in Tom Brady. What did we do yesterday on this show alone? Kyrie Irving. We questioned Kyrie Irving's dominance because when he won, he was coupled with the best in LeBron James. But let's leave sports for a moment. Let's just talk life. Many people go to Starbucks. If you ask anybody how good Starbucks coffee is, they might question it. Because Starbucks is the best coffee brand. Do they got the best coffee? Many would say no. You excessively criticize, some might say unfairly criticize, coffee, an inanimate object. We don't tweet at coffee to get retweets. We always question things that are attached to or associated with the best. Kobe Bryant, was it Kobe or was it Shaq? We always do that. So this to me is not a Kevin Durant issue in isolation. Kevin Durant is unfairly criticized because he's not actually unfairly criticized. He's criticized because he joined the best. And anybody that is at any point in time ever tethered to the best, LeSean McCoy, will get excessive amounts of criticism.
He's unfairly criticized.
You got to tell me why.
The thing with Kevin Durant is this. If we just wrote down and talked about all the greats, right? We talk about the Magics, yes, Kareems, Shaq, Jordan, Kobe's. And then we talk about their play, right? And then we talk about their accolades. If I told you that a player with no name, right, he's a four-time scoring champ, three-time All-Star, he's an MVP, two-time Finals MVP, two-time NBA championship, if you just erase the names, right, I don't know if it's Barkley, I don't know who it is, you would tell me that's a great resume. Then let's add on to that resume. I've seen players like Michael Jordan again. I'm a Kobe Bryant fan. I think if you look at Kobe's tape, you look at Jordan, it's identical. Jordan's probably better, but it's identical. Great players. There's no player like Kevin Durant. We haven't even seen it, and we might not see it for another 20, 30 years.
Sure.
And it's like they criticize him so much for being great. Sometimes I'm thinking, like, is it jealousy? What is it? And then everybody loves to talk about the Warriors team. They teamed up with the greatest team assembled of all time, the Golden State Warriors. But let's think about that for a second. First of all, they didn't win a championship that year.
They didn't.
The best record, they lost the championship. So they weren't good enough to win that, right? He didn't go calling the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors called him.
True.
Matter of fact, Draymond Green, after they lost, he called him in the parking lot. You know them type of losses. You get your butt kicked. you take it forever to get in the shower. You got the media out there. You do the media. And then before you go home and see your family, you still take your time. Then you get in your car.
Man. He's sitting there. He said, you're thinking. You think about life.
KD, yo, you see the game? Ah, you lose. Then, going further, this is all accurate. They go to the Hamptons to meet Kevin Durant,
yep.
Right? Steph, Clay, Draymond,
yep.
Iguodala,
yep.
Steve Kerr.
Yep.
So for this team to be so great, they went to chase Kevin Durant.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's like people leave that part out. Like he just went to go join the team. They came and got him.
Sure.
Because they knew that they couldn't win. Because they didn't win.
Sure.
So all the critics out there that hate on Kevin Durant, I don't know why. I think it's because we've never seen a player like him before. His accolades and his resume is so great. It's like they have nothing to talk about. So they pick at something.
But then why, Shady, if you have an issue with what people say about Kevin Durant, why do you go so hard about Belichick telling the world that Belichick without Tom Brady has not won?
Whoa, wait, talking about? Kevin Durant is great within himself. Like, just looking at him, watching him do his thing, where now we seeing Belichick, they're like, he's, like, average. If Kevin Durant is not with the Warriors, he's never going to look average, right? Hello? He ain't never look average. When we look at Belichick, they look average. Don't they?
Good
I mean,
point.
I don't want to make
that point.
Okay,
good
yeah.
Point. I'm
like,
interested in hearing what you have to say.
When I speak about the God the right way, and the God is Kevin Durant.
Mm. I mean, KD did win an MVP before he got...
That don't count, Joy Taylor.
He go to the finals with the Warriors.
That's your boy, that don't count.
He to the finals without the Warriors. Belichick did not do those things.
Yeah.
We're gonna,
one,
this
four,
was apples to
four
oranges,
scoring title.
But yeah. he is independently great from the Warriors. I don't like the word fair because nothing in life is fair. But what I think KD is realizing in that statement, and I would agree with him, is you can't control how other people view you. And I think KD has reached a point in his career where he has realized that he needs to live and play for himself. No matter what he does, People are going to feel how they feel about his career. They're going to feel how they feel about his choices. And the other day, at the end of the day, the only person that you should be actively trying to make happy is yourself.
Sure.
And I think that KD has reached that point. When I read the quote, I'm like, yeah, he's right. It just doesn't matter what other people view you and how other people view your career. The discourse about greatness, the discourse about GOATs has put us in a situation where everyone is constantly compared to Michael and LeBron. Everyone's held to these standards. But that is not fair. And it is not a reasonable conversation to have. So I do think he's unfairly criticized because what is the expectation of him? What do you want Kevin Durant to do? That's what I can't get the answer from. Like, it's like everyone's mad at KD. Why are you mad? And what can he do to make you unmad? What can this man do?
I can answer that question.
He's got to go suffer because he did suffer. And that's my problem. Everyone erases whole chapters of Kevin Durant's career.
Yeah.
He was drafted to the Sonics, played with the Thunder, went to the finals with them, won an MVP. We're all curious as to why Dame is so loyal, right, to the Blazers. And when we talk about him, if he doesn't win a championship in his career, we will mention that. Mm-hmm. But KD made a move to go and put himself in the conversation of a champion. He was the best player on those teams. Won the finals MVP in both of those championships. Because he played alongside a great team, he's supposed to now go suffer for y'all? I'm not suffering for y'all is what right. I am not going to do, particularly when I already did that. So my question with KD is, what else must he do? Hmm.
I would answer, as somebody who has been critical of Kevin Durant, is I would want to see Kevin Durant win a championship without joining the best. The Phoenix Suns over the last two seasons have had the best record in basketball by 14 games. Okay. The Golden State Warriors had the best record in basketball. When LeBron joined the Heat, he did get criticized, as Joy knows, because
he was in
Miami at the time.
Did you?
I was more focused on other things. I was trying to stay in the NFL.
Okay.
So I didn't have time to pay attention to LeBron James. But even LeBron got criticism then. I would want to see, personally, Kevin Durant win Slick without joining a team that had the best tied to it. So you answer, is there an unfair amount of criticism or is it what it is?
Before I answer that, I need to ask you another question.
Yes, sir. I'm here for it.
Why is it important to you that he prove that he can win a championship?
Great question.
Without.
Great freaking question. That's a phenomenal question. It is the same level of imperative as it was to see Tom Brady win without Belichick. I was on the show Speak talking about, is it Brady, is it Belichick? Is it Brady, is it Belichick? When Brady went and won year one with Shady and Bruce Arians, oh, question answered. Is it Kobe? Is it Shaq? Is it Kobe? Is it Shaq? Shaq won with D-Wade. But then Kobe went and won two of them things and went to three of them things. Question answered.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson, he won with the Bulls. Then he went and won with the Lakers. Questions answered. We ask these questions about all of our greats.
Sure.
So to me, this is not a Kevin Durant specific question. This is a question that you have to earn the right to have asked about you. And KD is so good that he has earned the right to have this question asked.
Okay, so I have to ask another question as a result of that.
Yes, sir.
Did you criticize Tom Brady prior to going to Tampa Bay for only winning championships with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots? Did you discount
Another good question.
What he had accomplished?
Okay. Another good question.
Because he had only done it in New England with Bill Belichick.
No. And the reason I will say no is we did not see Tom Brady fall short with another organization, join an organization that was already great, win with the organization, and then leave and fall short again. Remember the Patriots. They had Drew Bledsoe, first quarterback to sign a $100 million deal. Yeah. They did not win. Mm. Tom Brady steps in and starts. They win. You can say that Tom Brady was conducive to the Patriots' success. You cannot say that about Golden State.
Yes.
The Warriors won before KD showed up. Let's not erase 2015 from our minds. Shady is right. In 16, they lost.
Yeah.
But in 15, they did win.
Mm-hmm.
So the Warriors succeeded before KD, and they succeeded after KD. The Patriots only ever succeeded with Tom Brady. That, to me, is the difference to answer your question, but you go where you want to go, sir. I'm here to answer questions, though, if you may.
Yeah, no, I think he's unfairly criticized because it feels as if he can't win and that he is criticized for the narrative of his story as opposed to his accomplishments. That we are looking at, we criticize him because he went to the Golden State Warriors. And then he gets criticized because he left the Golden State Warriors right. and went to the Brooklyn Nets.
Right.
He's criticized for being loyal to Kyrie Irving. He's being criticized for not being loyal to Russ Westbrook or to Steph Curry. it feels to me as if we look at some of the things that he has done off the court as opposed to on it, and that becomes the prevailing reason why we think less of Kevin Durant. Now, I have often criticized him because of the things that he has said. Mm-hmm. But that's different than criticizing him for what he's done. I believe that he's mishandled how he's presented himself at times and that he could do a better job. The having the social media burner account. Like there's missteps that he's had that I believe are beneath him as a player. But what he's actually accomplished on the court, it's really hard for me to look at being a finals MVP with a completely different team than the 2015 team. We often can, even the 73 win team, it wasn't like they had that roster and added KD and then they won a championship.
Of course.
They lost a ton of pieces. KD replaced them.
Yes, sir.
And proved himself to be the most valuable piece of those two championship teams. So I can't take that away from him, and yet people unilaterally do and discount it because of what the Warriors were or accomplished before.
Let me ask you a question. We've been asking great questions on this, so let me ask you one. If you say KD's unfairly criticized, then who is fairly criticized? If criticism can be unfair, because Joy, I agree with you, nothing in life is fair. Equality, we are born unfairly unequal, and hopefully life makes us more equal. So then who is fairly criticized?
James Harden.
Is he?
I think so.
Would you agree? Because James Harden's one of the greatest scorers of the generation.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is. Here's
the distinction between James Harden and Kevin Durant. Can I ever say that Kevin Durant did not prepare himself to play at his peak, at his absolute ability?
No.
I can say that about James Harden.
So that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
That's a fair criticism.
Sure.
Like Kevin Durant, this is another thing, like, even if he didn't join the Warriors, like he still was a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Like you but can't let me take ask, that from him.
Did Kevin Durant ever not answer the bell? Whether he won or lost.
He always did.
Even when he lost.
Always did.
Right? But, toe on the line.
He always did.
He always delivered. It may not have been enough.
But I don't know if that is the criticism. My thought is this. Did KD get, and Joy, you and Slick would know, because y'all were both, I was in the league, focused on other things while y'all were in media. Did KD receive this amount of criticism before joining Golden State?
It wasn't as bad. It certainly wasn't as bad, but he was certainly criticized before. Yes.
Why can't you win a championship in Oklahoma City? It's you, Russ Westbrook.
Correct.
Et cetera.
But I think that is the standard thing we say about many players.
But that was fair. We do say that a lot about a lot of players. Mm-hmm. We do say that about a lot of homegrown drafted stars.
Correct.
We will eventually say that about Luka. If Luka doesn't win a
championship. We're saying it now to some degree.
But a lot has happened since then.
I would say this, though. If Luka were to join the Suns instead of KD this year, and they go on to win, if Luka were to join the Milwaukee Bucks, if Luka were to join the Boston Celtics and they win, Luka would get the same criticism that KD got.
But here's my question about the criticism. Like, people constantly present this. Okay, he joins this great team, which is it's true. They had great players. They're a great organization, well-coached. Great ownership, by the way, had to have the money to bring in Kevin Durant in the first place,
sure.
Which your team doesn't do because you don't manage the team properly, which is another thing that people just completely push out of the way. They're a very well-run team. They develop young players. They had cheap talent that stepped
up. You got to hold the thoughts.
All of those things played a role in those championships. You had to sacrifice egos. Draymond, Clay, Steph all had to sacrifice their ego to bring in a star and let him shine. All of those things had to happen. I'm not making it up.
But there was a bunch of TV money that came in.
Hold that thought. We got to pay some bills and get you all to break. This conversation has been enthralling. Exactly. Speaking of TV money, bills got to be paid. But after the commercial break, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, they remain at an impasse. Contract negotiations at a stalemate. Here's the question. Should Lamar Jackson sit out the entirety of next season? We will get to that when we return next on Speak. What a show we got going here. There is no story worth more of your interest than this one right here. Lamar Jackson, what will happen next? Remember, the Ravens gave him the non-exclusive franchise tag, and a report says there's a possibility he won't show up this year. He won't show up unless The Ravens offer him more money than what he is currently due to make. Currently, he's only due to make $32 million. I say only because in context, Daniel Jones is set to make more than that. Geno Smith set to make roughly the same amount as that. That's not a lot of money. So really the question here, and it would be unheralded, truly, Joy, should Lamar sit out next season without a new deal?
It depends on what kind of new deal he wants. If he wants to stand firm and he wants this fully guaranteed deal or a massive deal and the Ravens are not playing and no one has come to the table, then yeah, he should sit out. If he wants to not bet on himself again and get long-term big money, but not necessarily the money that he's asking for, then he should go to the table and accept that deal. If I was Lamar Jackson, I'm not betting on myself physically anymore. So I will be sitting out. Mm-hmm. You don't want to pay me? Cool. Mm. We know what's going to happen. What's going to happen is someone is going to get injured. Multiple people are going to get injured. True. Someone's going to get desperate at some point in the season. And then all that, oh, we don't want to spend too much money thing is going to start to go away. It happens every single year. Look at the San Francisco 49ers last year. How many quarterbacks did they go through?
A lot.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they could find the money to do it. But the point is, someone's going to get injured. Someone's going to get desperate. Things change once you get closer to the season. There's no reason he should step foot on a field without a long-term deal. He just shouldn't. They're already trying to make it seem like he's an injury-prone player, like he's not sustainable, like his style of play isn't going to last. Mm-hmm. Even through a four-year deal. Like, that's realistically what we're talking about here, right? Like a 4 to 5 year deal. And really, a 5 year deal is a 4 year deal. You can move on it. 5 years from now, who knows what quarterbacks are going to be paid? You'll be able to move on from that last year of any deal. We've seen people move on from deals halfway through.
True.
So he should not step on a field without a long-term deal.
Yeah, I agree with Joey. I mean, my thing is, like, we've seen players, you know, sign a tag and then, oh, my back hurts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hamstring. You can't really test for that, right? And it's my word against your word. I'm big on players, like, not receiving all the money they can possibly get because he'll never be 26 years old again. He'll never be 27 again. And I think you don't want to pass up on the money. So, yes, I think that he shouldn't go out there and actually physically play, but he should show up. I'm going to show up. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to sign this. Oh, so you don't get my real money, my real value? I'm going to sign this franchise tag. Cool.
Yep.
Ah, going to first play. Throw it. Ah, back. Sore. They know what's going on. Even with the 49ers last year with Debo,
yep.
When he was trying to get his money, he said, you know what, I'm hurt. Yeah, I'm going to go over here and work out off the field, right, with the trainers because I'm hurt. Until you get my money, I can't do nothing for you. And they know what's going on. They've been there.
Shady, I agree with you. Joy, I agree with you. Here's the problem. I think the ethos of Lamar Jackson disagrees with you both. What did Lamar Jackson take to Twitter and say just 3 days ago? He said, yo, I'm always happy. I'm always in a good mood. Remember, to do what you all are saying, you have to become the villain internally before the world receives you as a villain externally. When Jalen Ramsey did, Shady, what you are supposing, Jalen Ramsey drafted to the Jags.
Oh, he did get out of there.
He wanted to get out of Jacksonville. He ended up being the highest paid in Los Angeles. Yeah. But the articles written about him, former FSU star Jalen Ramsey, immature, insufferable face of the Jags. Remember, Le'Veon Bell did similar to what, Shady, you are suggesting. He held out the whole season. Le'Veon Bell, villain. Or vilified. Earl Thomas did the same thing before becoming the highest paid. Earl Thomas, maybe he's the one showing disrespect. Lamar Jackson likes to live in a state of happiness. He said it himself. In order to sit out, and truly sit out like Shady's talking about, which is probably the wisest way to sit out, sit in. Go to practice, make sure you don't get fined. Say you have some sort of injury that the training staff cannot test for. Lamar would have to become somebody he doesn't even like being. A negative person. The villain. He never wants to be the villain, and even he said he sits in a happy mood. I agree with you all that he should sit out. I just don't know that his personality has it within him, Slick, to do the very thing he should do.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I don't think that he should sit out because of the Le'Veon Bell example. Le'Veon Bell was the exact same age, 26 years old, coming off of consecutive Pro Bowl years. He was never the same. He didn't get paid. There were running backs who got hurt. Nobody jumped out there and got him. And he bet on himself once. I don't know that he can't not bet on himself again. If he believed that, hey, I'm better than what you're offering me, then go out and prove it. And I understand the injury issue, and there is that sleight of hand in terms of, well, let me go in, let me sign the non-exclusive tag, let me get paid, but not play, but not make myself available.
Right.
If you're the quarterback and you're the leader of a team and you take that approach and you're basically undermining a full season for that, I would defer to you to say, is everybody in that locker room going to understand that?
You know why they would? This is why they would. Because the first year, when he should have did it, he didn't. Mm-hmm. He said, you know what? I'm going to show up the week one and be there for my teammates. I'm going to come to camp. Mm-hmm. When he came to camp, everybody was so surprised. Players like, oh, Lamar's here? You start whispering that because you're not used to seeing a star player up for his contract and he's at camp.
Yeah.
All the players from Aaron Rodgers to Aaron Donald to Jalen Ramsey, like I can go on for hours. T.J. Watt, he did it in Pittsburgh. Like players that you have great personalities and great in the community, but when it's about your money, slick, about that paper.
But if it's, I've got to do this the entire year. It's one thing to do it in training camp. It's one thing to miss OTAs. It's a matter of, you know what? I'm going to sit out this entire season.
Would you do it for your family, for your money? Would you do it?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
You know what? I couldn't do it.
Oh.
I really couldn't.
I could. I'll see y'all later. Yeah.
Right.
I would
write,
take
write whatever you got to write. Say whatever you need to say.
For that paper, I got it. I can't come.
But the other issue that I have with that is, this is what the Ravens are asking for. The Ravens are saying we don't really need Lamar Jackson. Well, let's find out. Why don't you go ahead and play without me? Go ahead and see. That'll last real long. Does anyone really feel like the Ravens without Lamar Jackson, with Lamar in the building, hurt, waiting for his money, is going to go well?
But, Joy, who will win the game of chicken? The Ravens saying we don't need Lamar or Lamar saying I don't need the money? Like, who's going to win that game of chicken?
I don't think that that's going to happen. Everyone's being really, really reactive here to the situation. Like, they don't know who Lamar Jackson is.
Yeah.
The reason we saw the Ravens in the postseason this year is because of Lamar Jackson.
Every year.
Yeah, every year since he got there.
Yeah,
come on. It's been good to Lamar.
That's why. And he was hurt. He was so good until he got hurt that they were able to be bad without him and still make the postseason. So it sounds real good, but go ahead and play without me. We'll see.